I was coming from Montgomery. I had my guitar on my back. When this stranger stopped beside me in an antique Cadillac. He was dressed like 1950, half drunk and hollow-eyed. Say it's a long walk to Nashville, would you like to ride? I sat down in the front seat, turned on the radio. Them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white pale when I asked him for a light. I knew there was something strange about this ride. He said, "Drifter, can you make folks cry when you're playing sign? Have you paid your dues? Can you moan the blues? Can you bend them guitar strings? Boy, can you make folks feel what you feel inside? If you're big star bound, let me warn you, it's a long, hard ride."
Hello and welcome to Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa. Pleased, as always, to be joined by the legend, Les Thatcher. And since two hot, sweaty folks in 90-degree temperatures in their respective homes of Cincinnati and New Jersey are not enough, we've gone down south to North Carolina to speak to Greg Price, because he's got the Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Legends Fan Fest coming up a little later this summer when it's really going to be 90 every day, all day. And a trip to Charlotte sounds like just what the doctor ordered for me this summer, Les. How about you?
I think that's a good idea. Greg, speaking of, when we start the ball rolling here, I remember, I think it was 3 years ago, wasn't it like 104 every damn day?
Well, that's August in the Carolinas, Les. You know that from, it's an, you know, it's going to be a hot weekend anyway, both physically and figuratively.
Well, you know, let's start way back up and start beginning. What possessed you to start doing this fan? I know this will be the ninth year, right?
This will actually be our ninth year, our 11th fan fest overall. We started back Super Bowl weekend in 2004, Panthers and Patriots in the Super Bowl, and who knew that on Super Bowl Sunday we would have a packed house at the Hilton Hotel here in Charlotte of old-school wrestling fans. It's something that's grown continuously since then. We started out a couple days, Saturday and Sunday, and we've grown into a 4 days and four-night weekend that with wrestling fans from all over the world. Quite an experience for old-school wrestling fans.
What possessed you to drive yourself nuts with promoting this thing? And when I say that, I know that because when I ran the Pillman shows, they were only a one-day event, and they almost made me lose my mind a few times. But what possessed you to come up with this? I mean, had you been to something like this and you weren't happy with it, or you just thought this is the time and the place? What was it?
Well, you said nuts. I'm a lifelong nut, and I'm a lifelong wrestling fan. And for years, have admired, you know, the wrestlers from my childhood, like yourself, and always, you know, saw different conventions of different types, whether it was sports stars or comic book conventions or Star Trek conventions, and just saw the attention that, you know, those folks got and the admiration that they received from their fans over several days, and just wondered why there wasn't anything like that for wrestling, and took my childhood love and that idea and tried to bring it to fruition here in Charlotte 9 years ago.
I remember that first one, and my God, it has grown in terms of vendors, and as you mentioned, you've added 2 days to it, and as it gets bigger, it gets it's a little crazier too, I know. But let's talk for those who haven't been or don't know a lot about it. I know there's a lot of new things going on this year, but first of all, let's talk about the standard things like the photo shoots and the autograph sessions and the Q&A sessions and that sort of thing. If you will, kind of go over the Thursday, Friday, Saturday schedule just briefly for those listening.
Les, we typically have several dozen old school wrestlers from the 60s, 70s, and 80s take part in our weekend. It's autograph signings, it's photo opportunities, chance to sit down, mingle, chat with your wrestling heroes. Our schedule has grown to where on Thursday is our kickoff day. We have a kickoff party on Thursday afternoon, just a mix and mingle time for most of the folks that are here. On Thursday night, we have a couple of question and answer sessions. This year, the fans will have a chance to sit down and the first question and answer, sit down with Tully Blanchard and Magnum TA, the two guys probably involved in probably the, you know, one of the most prolific matches from the old Mid-Atlantic territory here in the mid-80s. Of course, Starrcade 85, the I Quit match. And folks will have a chance to ask their questions of these two guys and get their honest and candid answers and get an insight to, you know, to what the Mid-Atlantic territory and specifically their feud was back in the mid-80s. Our wrap-up Q&A on Thursday night, late-night Q&A, is the past several years has been reserved for Jim Cornette. And it's late night for a few different reasons. It's a little more it's a little more raucous. It's a little more straightforward and to the point. Corny doesn't mince any words and doesn't dodge any questions. And but it's a lot of fun. It's a very relaxed atmosphere, and you know, it's a good way for us to, you know, kick off our weekend and have a lot of fun the first night in.
You know, Friday, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, it's okay. Friday kicks off, you know, three full days of autograph signings, chances to get your picture taken with your favorite wrestler, both himself and in some unique opportunities for some group photo ops as well. But Friday is just a crazy day from start to finish. We have vendors, merchandise vendors from all over the country that have every type of wrestling memorabilia merchandise that you can imagine, whether it's something that was produced in the 70s or 80s or even stuff that's produced today. I mean, if it's wrestling or wrestling-related, you'll find it in our vendor room at FanFest. Friday night this year, of course, our standard, this will be our sixth year for our Hall of Heroes banquet, dinner banquet, and award ceremony. It's a really nice treat, a little nice addition to our weekend where we have an opportunity to recognize, you know, seven or eight legends of the past, you know, folks that made significant contributions to the industry and, you know, our wrestling lives, and happy to have you as part of that this year, Les. You're very worthy and very deserving. It's going to be a great privilege to have you there this year and have a chance to honor you as well.
So far, you've got Midnight Express and Jimmy, Rock and Roll Express, myself. Who else is being inducted?
Magnum TA is going to be inducted as well. And one of your old friends, this one we haven't announced yet, but one of your old friends and one of the real icons of Mid-Atlantic wrestling back in the 60s and 70s, Danny Miller, is going to be inducted. He's going to be here, and we're going to honor him as well.
All right, great. Yeah, and my former tag team partner, too. That's
absolutely.
Yeah, great. That's super. That is super. And that list, for those who are listening, if you go to the website, click on to the Hall of Heroes, there's a list there of the guys who have been put into this thing. And, you know, I was looking at that the other day, and I'm thinking, damn, we could run a hell of a territory with this roster. I mean, it was a who's who of some of the top talent of that era. And when did you come up with that idea and the name, the Hall of Heroes? I think that's what I think is really cool about this. And one of the things that I'm very honored and humbled by being a part of this. But the plaque that we receive, which is that electronically engraved, I guess. But it's then there's a championship belt that Milliken and Reg Parks make that has the same plates that those of us that are inducted are on the belt, with the centerpiece being about that particular year's Fan Fest, right?
Exactly. For those that aren't familiar with our event, that may be familiar with Cauliflower Alley, I know the past several years Dave Milliken and Rico Mann have designed their Cauliflower Alley belt similar in almost every way that they do for us at FanFest. The side plates are typically the honorees, the folks that were inducted into the Hall of Heroes that year, and of course the plaques that we give to the honorees are basically replicas of the side plates of the championship belt. It's been a great honor to have Dave and Rico part of it and contribute that beautiful belt each year, and that's something that we raffle off every year. It's something we started 6 years ago, and we folks, fans that are there, buy raffle tickets for the belt, and all the money that we make off of that belt goes into a fund that will hopefully one day create a real life brick and mortar Hall of Heroes here in the Carolinas.
Now, I want to tell you on the front end, David Jackson won the damn belt in Vegas this year, and shook at my face. So don't even allow him to buy any tickets in Charlotte in August, okay?
That's awesome. It's a beautiful belt, and Dave and Rico, of course, they're the best at what they do, and we're very happy to have them on board each and every year, and looking forward to seeing what kind of prize they come up with this year.
And then, of course, the people that come in for the full ride, the 4 days, and let me say here, for those listening if you haven't been there, don't come for a day. Come for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because there's something new every day, and you will be entertained. If you never leave the hotel, you won't be bored. That I will guarantee you. Now, we have matches on Saturday night and matches on Sunday afternoon as well.
We do. We actually, we just made it through the Hall of Heroes on Friday, but we have so much more to the weekend. This year, one of the new aspects of the event, we're having a 4-day Future Wrestling Legends training camp. Of course, we've never done this before, but always, every year, all of our wrestling legends, the whole weekend is such a remarkable weekend for everybody, and just having the opportunity to sit under the learning tree from these folks, these men and women, is what helps, the young guys, the young girls that are trying to make a living and trying to make it in wrestling. And it was with that idea that we came up with doing the training camp. Of course, you and I spoke first about it and wanted to offer an opportunity for young wrestlers, male and female, to get an opportunity that they just can't get anywhere else. And it's 4 days of training with folks like yourself, Dr. Tom Pritchard, Tully Blanchard, Jerry Briscoe, and former Ladies World Champion Leilani Kai. And it's 4 solid days of training and sitting under that learning tree, if you will, and that'll just be a once-in-a-lifetime experience for any young wrestler, trying to be successful in this business.
The VIP fans will be admitted at some point every day. And what we're going to do, I guess, is run some practice matches that those of us who are running the training stations will critique. But then the VIP ticket holders can come in and watch and get a better feel, really, for what is right and what's wrong in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, every day, lunchtime every day, we're going to have an hour of exhibition matches with the talent that are in the training camp, give them a chance to wrestle in front of our fans, get that live atmosphere. And not only that, but the fans are also going to have an opportunity to, you know, give their feedback to vote on these young wrestlers. And some of them are going to get the opportunity to wrestle on our live cards on Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. Ultimately, the voting will play a part in one of these campers that's open for 24 young men and women. And so far, we've had folks from as far away as California, Canada, and England, you know, sign up for it. So it really is a, you know, going to be an incredible experience, you know, seeing a lot of different young talent there. But the voting, more so in the voting, is going to be the best of the camp. We're going to award the best of the camp a $2,500 scholarship. It's called the Reed Flair Memorial Scholarship in honor of Reed Flair, who passed away this past March. Reed's a young guy, of course, Ric Flair's son, great young man, friend of a lot of folks here at FanFest, participated in our FanFest the last several years as well. But one of these campers in this camp, we're going to select, the fans will select one to receive the Reed Flair Memorial Scholarship, and that'll get them $2,500 towards their future training opportunities to help them, you know, in their quest to make it as a professional wrestler.
And that's amazing. You know, let me say this. I when I heard you were going to do that, I thought, wow, that's, you know, because having run my own school here in Cincinnati, plus going, you know, around the country doing these camps, so many of these kids, you know, it comes down to dollars of being able to get the proper training. And some don't get it because of that. And I think, wow, this, you know, this will go a long way for some young man who's having a tough time making ends meet, or young lady for that matter, to help improve their skills and help them, move up if at all possible. I think that's an amazing thing. And, how many, campers will we have over that weekend?
There'll be 24. The camp will be open to 24 people. And, we're looking forward. It's going to be a full camp, I have no doubt, and it's just a great opportunity. I'm well aware of how tough it is in the indies nowadays and how tough it is for a young man or young woman to, you know, to get the training that they need from quality people. And, you know, like I say, it's just an opportunity to learn from folks like yourself and you know, all these other great coaches that we have, and it's just, it's a rare opportunity that, you know, these guys have, you know, to learn their craft, and to hopefully, you know, this will be something that'll help them along. The training experience will be something to help them along, but also the challenge of the competition of trying to be named the best of the camp and win that scholarship so they can continue their training at another level. Hopefully it's something that'll be, you know, well received by the folks. I've heard nothing but positive response, so far, and, just something I'm looking forward to having that as part of our weekend.
Vic, jump right in here. I know you got a lot of questions.
I do. As a matter of fact, Greg, you just said something that got me thinking. You used the word competition there in talking about the training camp over the weekend, and I started thinking about it in a different way, and so I'd like to take you back to that very first FanFest you did back in 2004, because right around that time, the whole convention scene in the world of wrestling got really hot. There was a convention seemingly all the time with some other group, and over the years, while some of them are still successful, particularly WrestleCon, which Les and I checked out this year, but that, of course, had the good fortune of being tied to WrestleMania weekend, but a lot of those ones that kind of popped up right around the time the Mid-Atlantic Fan Fest did have fallen by the wayside, while 9 years later, you're not only here chugging along, but this thing is growing and evolving on a year-to-year basis. What do you think, in your opinion, what's been the difference? Why have all these other folks just sort of faded away while this Mid-Atlantic Fan Fest gets bigger and better every year?
Well, Vic, I'd like to believe it's because of the, you know, the talent that's involved. Our weekend focuses specifically on the wrestlers that we grew up with in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. my childhood heroes. Of course, we have vendors and we have, you know, special guests, you know, that bring in the stars of today as well. But the focus of our weekend is on the old Mid-Atlantic Wrestling territory, those old stars of the National Wrestling Alliance that we all grew up with. And it's just, you know, a special feeling, you know, and a special connection that Mid-Atlantic area, the NWA, and Jim Crockett Promotions has with a lot of people, not just in this area, but all over the world. And it gives them an opportunity to come together once a year, each summer, sort of like a family vacation, family reunion. And it's just a remarkable experience. I don't know any other way to describe it than that. And I think that's probably, you know, as much testament to the longevity of the event as anything else. It's certainly not because of anything that I've done or, you know, any person's done, but, you know, it's that connection that the fans have with the wrestling from their childhood and those stars from the glory days that that I believe makes our event so successful.
You know, Vince,
yeah, I do think that has something to do with it, too. Excuse me, Lester. I was just going to say the fact that, you know, all those fans and you yourself have that shared passion, and it comes out over the course of the weekend and the lengths you go to put these great events together. And I want to bring it back to the documentary project in a minute or two, but let's actually talk about Mid-Atlantic Memories, because it's that passion that brought you to this point. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about some of your personal Mid-Atlantic favorite memories, like, for example, maybe the first particular match or wrestler or somebody that you saw on Mid-Atlantic TV, then you said, this is it. This is what I want to watch.
Well, like most wrestling fans that I know, I grew up watching wrestling in the living room with either my father or my grandfather, my grandmother, and, you know, just whether it was lunchtime on Saturday or whether it was 11 o'clock on Saturday night, you know, that was a special opportunity to, you know, to see wrestling, my first experience, you know, to see wrestling, and I, you know, cherish those memories. My first live event was in Memorial Stadium in Charlotte, back in, 1975, the summer of 1975. And it was the most incredible experience as a kid, you know, just being a part of that and seeing guys like Blackjack Mulligan and Wahoo McDaniel and Andre the Giant. You know, those are just memories that have lasted a lifetime, and it's been, you know, just a great honor for me to go back through FanFest and be able to relive a lot of memories like that and rekindle a lot of memories, but also, you know, actually go back and spend time, you know, with these guys and girls that were, you know, such a big part of my growing up.
And that's the thing, and obviously I know you're going to say it's great, but I'm still going to ask you anyway, how cool is it as a fan who grew up watching so many of these talented wrestlers over the years to have the opportunity to be in contact with them, to bring them back into the area, to have them have another weekend in the sun with the folks who grew up watching them?
It's a great experience. I mean, I enjoy every conversation that I have with every one of these guys. You know, it's not to be morbid, but, you know, there is, we all have a time clock, and we all only have so much time left on this earth. So every opportunity that I get to spend, you know, a little bit of time with these folks, you know, is just, you know, it's an incredible experience. Part of the reason, you know, that I wanted to make FanFest weekend a reality, it's the only reason that I've continued to do it, you know, even with all the headaches and stuff like that that goes with it, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And, but also, you know, we've evolved to this Mid-Atlantic Memories documentary project that, it's my goal to make that happen and to leave something, you know, with folks, that they can, you know, watch and learn from and, you know, have at their disposal for many years to come. I mean, with our Fan Fest weekend, we, you know, the fans have an opportunity to, you know, not only relive their memories from their childhood, but it's creating new memories. It's about creating new memories. And, you know, that's good for a personal experience. But the documentary, is going to be something that, you know, a physical thing that they can keep in their, you know, hands forever. It'll be around forever. No one can get rid of it. No one, you know, it doesn't. Not like your memory. It's not going to fade away. And that's the reason that we're doing the documentary. And, you know, tremendously excited about that, the opportunity to do that. And this year's Fan Fest is going to be an opportunity for everyone, to be involved in this new, feature length, documentary. It's not just the, you know, the wrestlers that are going to be involved. We're going to make every effort to go out and speak with every promoter, every wrestler, and every fan that ever was a part of Mid-Atlantic Wrestling or wrestling in the Carolinas, which also includes other stuff other than Mid-Atlantic Wrestling. But we're going to, you know, give everybody an opportunity to be a part of this documentary and come out of it, you know, next summer with an awesome project. It's going to be a feature-length film. We're going to do screenings in all the old towns in the Mid-Atlantic Territory, the old Crockett towns, and then Fan Fest next year. We're going to premiere the documentary, and folks will get to see it for the first time. And, you know, it's just something I think is going to be very, very special.
Hey, Les, I would love for you to talk a little bit about your involvement in the documentary.
I don't know what my involvement is. No, I don't know. I'm going to be a part of it, and what I suppose I'm going to do some roundtables, some interviews. You know, I wore so many hats in the Carolinas, and that's one of the reasons that Greg asked me to be involved in the documentary. Obviously I wrestled there. I was part of the television production crew. I was on the announce team, and as well as doing the Mid-Atlantic. We invented the Mid-Atlantic magazine, and so, you know, I was part of the office, part of the talent, part of, you know, a little bit of everything. So I guess, you know, I'm going to bounce all over the place and you know, do whatever the boss says he needs me to do.
Hey, boss, you mentioned headaches a few minutes ago, and I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Don't worry, Les, we're not talking about you. But when we were exchanging emails this week, there was something you mentioned in terms of getting a hold of certain people, and that is one of the duties of the promoter. You talked about how hectic it can be running around over the course of that weekend, and if you want to go there, then I will certainly open the door for you here if you wish, because I know that getting a hold of some of these guys sometimes can be very difficult. If you could just talk about some of the hurdles that you face sometimes in trying to put something together that is definitely worth every penny that the fans are going to put out over the course of the weekend.
I do appreciate the opportunity, Vic, and I'm very sincere when I say that. But I'll also tell you that I don't have time for much negativity in my life, especially not nowadays. There are certain things, you know, certain hassles and headaches that you have to deal with. You know, some of these guys, you know, have some of these Mid-Atlantic legends, you know, work for other folks in the wrestling business nowadays. And it's not just, you know, dealing with them. You know, these guys would love to be a part of our weekend, but the folks that they work for just simply won't allow them to do that. You know, that's about as far as I want to go with that. That's all negativity, and I don't have time for that. It's part of the headaches, I guess, that come with you know, putting together a weekend like this. And, you know, our focus is on creating and presenting a 110% fan-friendly weekend for everybody that's there. There's nothing like being in a hotel where everyone in that hotel absolutely loves everything that you do. You know, there's so much positivity, you know, that takes over the Hilton that weekend, and we just don't have room for the negativity. You know, come September, you know, we can talk about that. And but it's not something that I want to dwell on. I mean, it's things, you know, things happen every day. You know, we have no control over. You just try to make the best of it. But our weekend's 110% positive, and you know, just a great atmosphere for everybody, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
You know, Vic, from a wrestler standpoint, the first one, and this will be my fourth one, I believe, that I've been to of the nine. And what's so cool about it is that a lot of the fans are from the area. You know, and when I say the area, not just Charlotte, but South Carolina, Virginia, wherever. And, you know, when you go to work, well, it's like you, Vic, as a disc jockey. You go, you do your job, and it really, it's not a point. You don't sit and dwell and think, well, did I touch anybody today? Did anybody really pay attention? You, I mean, it's just, it's what you do for a living, you know. And as wrestlers, that's what we do for a living. And you never, I mean, you never think past, well, tonight's the match, and we have to get this done, or if it's a program you're working, well, we got to figure 2 weeks down the road or whatever. But the coolest thing, that first year, I had a young man come through the autograph line who said, he must, I'm sure he was in his 30s. He said, you signed the sole of my baby shoe when my mother was carrying me at the matches. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. And I thought, wow. I said, see, that lady over there, that's my wife. I said, go tell her. She'll get a kick out of that. And he went over and told Allison, and she said, well, why didn't you bring that shoe today and have him autograph it again and put the date on it? And he said, if I had taken that shoe out, tried to take that shoe out of the house, my mother would have killed me. Now, you never think that you leave that type of impression on people. But like I say, then somebody will stop you when you're walking through the merchandise area, you know, or the souvenirs and stuff. And they'll say, you know, I remember watching you wrestle so-and-so in such-and-such a place, and you did this, and I think, wow. And you don't remember it. Mike Mooneyham, who writes for the Charleston paper, who's a personal friend, Mike remembers a match that Ronnie Garvin and I had in Charleston in, I don't know, 75 or 70, whatever. And he can tell you how it went and who won. And I can guarantee you Garvin doesn't remember, and I sure didn't until until Mike mentioned it. So it gives you the feeling that you've really done something other than just your job, you know, for a paycheck. The fact that you've actually touched somebody or a group of people to the point that they remember that 30 years later. And I find that amazing.
Greg, I'd like to actually pose that kind of same question to you that Les was just talking about, some things that jumped out at him over the course of his four fan fests. You, of course, have been a part of all nine as the promoter and creator of the event. Are there one or two or maybe even a handful of things that jump out at you as you think back over the course of those 9 years, things that sort of happened, something somebody said to you and you thought to yourself, man, that's why I do this?
Well, Vic, every experience really is like that for me. I mean, just, you know, seeing, you know, folks having fun, having a good time, you know, the feedback that I get from them, you know, it's all positive. Of course, you know, there are bumps in the road here and there. You know, things happen. You know, you take care of them best way you can. And that's, I think we have a good reputation because of that. You know, it's not, you know, we've had situations where, you know, we had in 2009, we had the reunion of the Horsemen. And first time they'd been together on stage in 25 years. And we had so many people in Charlotte that day. The Horsemen were scheduled to sign autographs for 4 hours. And because there were so many people, it actually delayed our Hall of Heroes banquet later that night, and the Horsemen, they signed for almost 8 hours on a Friday afternoon. And you know, that takes a little bit of you know, juggling around to, you know, when you have something like that you know, to happen. But you know, it's things like that, you know, and the fans, you know, they don't like standing in line for that long either, but when you have something like that, something that monumental, you know, they understand. And of course, you know, every one of those guys is more than gracious to, you know, stick around and make sure that every fan gets their autograph, every fan gets their picture. And it's just in the, you know, spirit of the weekend that we are there, and the wrestlers realize it. You know, we are there, you know, for the fans that grew up with this. We have, you know, if it weren't for the fans, you know, Fan Fest wouldn't be around, wouldn't be successful. But everything that we do there is for every fan that comes, and you know, it's to that end that we try to make it as enjoyable and do everything we can, go out of our way to make sure that everybody gets everything they're supposed to. As far as, you know, specific moments, it's hard to nail it down to just one. Of course, the Horsemen reunion, them being back together, you know, was a special moment. You know, a special moment for me was the very first Fan Fest, you know, when we have guys like Les and Bob Caudle reunite, you know, two guys that were, you know, very instrumental in TV wrestling back in the days in my childhood, you know, have them together. That meant a lot to, you know, to me. A couple years ago, Jim Ross was here and inducted Danny Hodge into our Hall of Heroes. You know, that was, you know, an incredible experience. You know, we've had so many people, unfortunately, you know, so many people that have been here previously that are no longer with us, you know, and the times that, you know, that we got to spend with, guys like Gary Hart and, Rip Hawk and Johnny Weaver and Benny Banner and Sir Oliver Humperdinck, and please forgive me if there's someone in there that I'm leaving out. But, you know, it's just, you know, a remarkable experience and a, you know, great opportunity to spend some time with those folks. Those, like I said, all of our clocks are ticking and none of us are getting any younger. And but I guess it's, you know, moments like that that, you know, I treasure most at the moment.
Guys, I want to get back to the documentary a little bit and then, Les, ask you to talk a little bit about the fact that Wrestling Cares is going to be part of the big weekend as well. But before I do that, I just want to make mention, and welcome all the freeloaders who are listening to this show today. I believe it's the first time, to the best of my knowledge, that Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly has been available to everyone on the site, subscribers or freeloaders. It's absolutely free today because we were hoping to give you a taste of exactly what you can get when you become a member here at WrestlingObserver.com/figure4online.com, you get one of, and this is just one of, something like 15 or 16 different audio shows that come out per week. You get a couple with Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez doing Wrestling Observer Radio. You get the Brian and Vinny Show. You've got Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly, the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, Dr. Lucha, Steve Sims, talking all things in the world of Lucha Libre. And not to mention that, you also get the Figure 4 newsletter and the longest running and I dare say most trusted wrestling source and MMA source for that matter in perhaps the world today, in the great Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer newsletter, all for just $10.99 a month. Both newsletters, 15 plus shows per week. And of course, you also get access to our message board, which I know thrills Les to no end.
Well, you know, hey, listen, you and I are here to be ripped on. And that's one of the things you get for $10.99 a month, too. You can listen
well,
to me,
true, yeah.
You can disagree with me, you can tell me I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. and it's all for a measly $10.99 a month.
Absolutely. Well worth the price of admission for shows with Dave Meltzer alone, and hopefully, of course, we feel like we're giving you your money's worth here when you're a subscriber with Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly as well. You get a chance to hear from great folks like Greg Price, who are putting together wonderful events like this August with the Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Legends Fan Fest at just $10.99 a month. You can't beat that anywhere on the web when you're talking about full coverage of professional wrestling and mixed martial arts. Now, guys, getting back to the Mid-Atlantic documentary, the Mid-Atlantic Memories documentary here that you're in the process of putting together, where was the particular genesis for this idea, Greg? Was it something you've been thinking about for a while? Did it just pop into your head maybe in the last 4 or 5 months? How did this whole thing come to fruition?
It's actually something I started kicking around about 18 months ago, Vic. And it actually started out, it was going to be in book form. I was presented an opportunity, to do a book, a FanFest related book. And, I wanted to do something along the lines of, what our FanFest weekend is about, about these guys that, that I grew up watching as a kid. And, from that, I mean, I'm the worst note taker in the world. And, I first thought, well, if I'm going to interview all these guys, I'm probably going to record it, just to make it easy for me. And it's just something that, sort of snowballed from that. And, if you're going to record it, why even do a book? Why not just make a movie out of it? And I've been blessed in the last few years to have met a great producer from Toledo, Ohio. His name is John Andoska. He came down a couple years ago to our fan fest. Had no idea what he was going to do. I just let him in the front door, and he went away and did his own little thing. And when the weekend was over, he came back and he put together a little 10-minute mini documentary of what our fan fest and fan fest weekend was all about. And it's the most incredible thing that I've ever seen done, on our weekend, and talking to the fans and the wrestlers, and exactly what folks see in our weekend and what they look forward to. And so from that point forward, I got John to, he's done a couple of our video projects, over the years. We produce a DVD set each year of, all of our weekend's events, whether it's the question and answer sessions, the Hall of Heroes banquet, the wrestling matches, and John has produced those DVD sets. And I knew when my train of thought went from book to film, I knew the person that I wanted to do this. And for anybody that has any doubt about the quality of, what this feature-length film is going to end up looking like, I'd encourage you to go to our website, nwalegends.com, and check out, a few of the videos that we have there of, folks like Les Thatcher and Bob Caudle and Jim Cornette. And, I want you to watch the videos for information purpose, but I also like you to check out, the quality and the technical aspect of the videos. And I think you'll quickly realize, that we found a gem in, John Andoska, and this feature-length film, once it's produced, the opportunity to see it in movie theaters, it's just going to be an incredible experience, and I'm super stoked about it now. And I'm excited. We're early in the process, of filming stuff with guys. FanFest is going to be a great opportunity to sit down with a lot of fans and record their Mid-Atlantic memories to be included in the documentary as well. So it's just a, it's going to be a huge project. A lot of times, promoters catch a lot of grief for hype and, trying to sell their product. But I think folks, can look at those videos on our website, and will, instantly realize that, all the hype is real. This is going to be an incredible project, and it's nothing but memories. Your memories, my memories, everyone's memories, everyone that was involved in wrestling in the Carolinas in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, whether it be promoters, wrestlers, and the fans, the folks that lived it, the folks that loved it, those are the folks that are going to be telling the story in this documentary. And I know that it's going to be a great project. Tickled to death with the interviews that we've done so far, and the opportunity to sit down and do a lot more both at FanFest and in the months to follow.
I don't want you to give anything away that you're not ready to give away in terms of who you're sitting down with in the documentary. Obviously, Les is going to be a part of it, but are there any names that you're willing to talk about or able to talk about at this point that you've already sat down with or plan on sitting down with and are going to be a part of this project?
Well, we try to share our stuff, you know, with the folks that, you know, either follow us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. You know, we've posted photos. Of course, we've sat down once with Les. We've sat down with Jim Cornette. We've sat down with Rock and Roll Express, Tully Blanchard, Bob Caudle. And that's just one setting. There will be more. You know, it's an ongoing process that we're going to, you know, take an opportunity to sit down, you know, with everybody, not just the folks that are here at FanFest, but we're traveling and going to these folks, you know, some of them that are just physically unable to be with us, you know, in Charlotte for FanFest, but we're going to them, and we want everybody, you know, to be included on this documentary. We don't want anyone to have any excuse for not being a part of it. And my hope is that every living, breathing person that was involved in, you know, Mid-Atlantic Wrestling and IWA Wrestling when they were here in the mid-70s, that they have an opportunity, you know, to be a part of this special project.
You know, Vic, some of the things, and I'll drive Greg crazy with this. Before this is over, he'll say, damn that Les Thatcher. I wish I'd left him out of this. you know, people like David Rawl, Nelson's son, who runs Diamond R Western Store up in Mooresville. I've known David since a small child. He's been around with his dad when we were wrestling together. Wendy Weaver, Johnny Weaver and Penny Banner's daughter, who's been around forever and ever. Those are people that we're wanting to talk to. I was thinking, we were talking about doing a roundtable type thing the other day, Greg and I got thinking when I saw on the site that Barry and Kendall were coming, I thought, Jesus, you know, I remember when Barry Windham was a teenager, he was working out at Charlotte at Crockett Park. And for those who don't know, Crockett Promotions, Mid-Atlantic Wrestling, owned the AA Baltimore Orioles minor league team, and Crockett Park was the ballpark in Charlotte where they played. And Barry, indirectly, to get around the wrestling business, was one of the groundskeepers and worked out at the ballpark when he was a teenager. So, he's been around it, obviously, because of family, but, you know, those memories, I think, because, you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, I did the programs for the Charlotte Orioles, and we had all the wrestlers, you know, had obviously free pass to the ballpark. And during, before I moved up to Knoxville in 77, you know, we were going out to the ballpark. How I came up with these memories the other day, I saw came across a photograph of Rufus R. Jones and I at Crockett Park, and it just made me stop to think about it. But I had the opportunity to meet Baseball Hall of Famer Eddie Murray, who was playing in the Orioles organization at the time, Cal Ripken Jr., all these guys. And we'd go in and go into the ball players' dressing room and say hello and one thing and another. And it was, it was just things like that that aren't necessarily public knowledge that I think would be of interest to wrestling fans.
Those are great stories, Les. Of course, you know, a lot of folks here, you know, I had the luxury of growing up, you know, in the Carolinas and attending those Charlotte O's games and, you know, just remarkable experiences. Another aspect of our documentary is, you know, going to be not only the different towns and the old Crockett territory, but the old arenas, you know, the buildings that we grew up watching wrestling in. You know, some of them, Dorton Arena, we interviewed Bob Caudle in Dorton Arena a few weeks ago in Raleigh, you know, one of the storied arenas in the Carolina Territory. You know, some of them are still around, and those we're going to get to take an inside look at a lot of them. And, you know, some others that are no longer around, County Hall and Charleston, for one. You know, but there's all kind of different things that are part of this documentary, not only the, you know, the personalities, but the places as well. And it's going to be a lot involved. And I say feature length because it's going to be a lengthy documentary. But it's also going to have all kinds of extras, I'm sure, that can't be included in the documentary itself. And we have tons of that stuff now. I don't know how many folks have had an opportunity to see Jim Cornette's literal wrestling museum, you know, but we had an opportunity to spend a day there recently. And, you know, for folks that, you know, collect memorabilia or are interested in, you know, souvenirs and things like this from the past, that's just one of the many things that, you know, they'll get from the documentary too. And like I say, it's just something that, you know, we'll be able to leave fans with, that they'll be able to look at for years and years and years to come, and just real looking forward to the project.
Les, tell us a little bit about, before we get out of here, because we're starting to get a little pressed for time. We still have a few minutes, but I want to make sure that you get have the opportunity to get in some of the latest news for Wrestling Cares, such as you guys getting together with a venue for the June show and the matches that you're going to be bringing to Charlotte in August.
Yeah, well, June the 29th is the first round for the B bracket of Race for the Ring. We're going to be in Gardena, California, the VFW post. It's not going to be our permanent home, but that's where we're going to be June the 29th. With the, like I say, that's the first round of B bracket, but two of those, actually on that show, there's going to be eight matches, but six of them will be tournament, but two of those tournament matches are going to be in Charlotte on Saturday night, August the 3rd. And we'll be, having the scoreboards, using the clocks, you know, won't go into all the time of talking about that, but those two matches will feature the Greek god Papillon. If you don't know who Jimmy Papillon is, he's a, Northeast wrestler who's a hell of an athlete. He won the Super 8 last year, and he's going to be facing Micah Taylor, who's a Hawaiian young man, who is also a very strong talent, great athlete. He was in the WWE developmental system when they were in Atlanta. And the other match on the August 3rd card will be Cassidy Riley, who's been in TNA, WWE, in a developmental system, a great worker, and a young man who I first got a look at last year when I did a training camp in Blue Ridge, Georgia, Corey Hollis. And so those are the two matches. And like I say, they will be under Race for the Ring rules, 10-minute time limit. If you score a point with a pinfall, submission, or count out, we will have the scoreboard and the clocks. Dave and I will get that stuff. We'll have those for the matches on Saturday night. Real quick, for June the 29th in Gardena, we have in the tournament, well, first the alternates match, a young man named Timothy Thatcher, no relation, against Oliver John. As you know, in the first round, David Richards and Kyle O'Reilly were eliminated because neither one of them could score a fall in the sudden death overtime. So between Thatcher and Oliver John, whoever wins that match will face Pepper Parks August 17th. In L.A. in the second round. But in the still these six other first-round matches for June the 29th, Willie Mack against Brandon Gadsden, D.J. Hyde against Drake Younger, Antonio Thomas against Alex Reynolds, B.J. Whitmer against Sean Tempers, Chase Stevens against Johnny Gargano, and Adam Pearce against Adam Page. And all the information is up on WrestlingCares.com. And you know, you can check it out there, and we'll be talking more about it here on the show as we go along. We're probably going to have, want to have probably a couple of the wrestlers from the tournament that are going to be in Charlotte August 3rd on the show, you know, here in the next few weeks. But so far, so good, Vic. It's, you know, it's looking good. You know, somebody said to me the other day, you know, this tournament, you probably got the best roster of unsigned wrestlers in the damn country. I said, good. We didn't sit down and do that, but if that's the case, I'm tickled to death. It's so. But anyway, you can get your tickets online as well at WrestlingCares.com. And, you know, speaking of that, before we do wrap this thing up, Greg mentioned to the fans about, you know, the rates at the hotel. And also, isn't there, if you book through Delta, if you're flying in, you can get a little discount if you mention the convention, too?
Sure thing, Les. Appreciate that. Of course, all the information is on our websites. You can go to either NWALegends.com or MidAtlanticLegends.com. Same information. There's a discount for folks traveling on Delta, you know, that may be flying in to Charlotte. The hotel, all of our weekend events, you know, everything FanFest related takes place at the Hilton University Place Hotel here in Charlotte, which is a remarkable hotel. It sits on a lake. All around the lake is all kind of shops and restaurants. So if you're the wrestling fan, but your wife and kids aren't, you know, they have plenty to occupy their time while you're here. But the hotel offers a special group rate for any of our fans that are coming in from out of town. That information's on our website. Check that out as well.
And they probably don't want to wait too long to make those hotel reservations either, do they?
Correct. It always sells out well in advance. So definitely if there's a chance that you're going to be with us in Charlotte this August, make sure you go to the website. Go ahead and book your hotel rooms now just to make sure that you're locked in on that, because it's always the last 4 or 5 years has sold out in advance. And it really is. I mean, we have a hotel packed full of wrestling fans, and we take over the Hilton for the weekend. And, our weekend is geared more to the VIPs, because the VIP experience is what our weekend is about. It's 4 days. It's the question and answer sessions we talked about, the Hall of Heroes banquet on Friday night, the wrestling matches Saturday and Sunday. But I know we also have people that, that can't be here for 4 days. And we have a general admission ticket. It's $19. You can come in for any day, take in as much or as little of our weekend as you want. So even if you're not able to be in Charlotte for 4 days, at least come out and, check out the event for as long as you can. Stay with us, as long as you can. And see everyone you can. It's it's a great weekend. Looking forward to seeing everybody in Charlotte, just being a part of another FanFest weekend.
And the website is nwalegends.com or midatlanticlegends.com, correct?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Okay, and also don't forget to throw out any Twitter or Facebook or other social media plugs for folks to connect with you between now and then as well.
Our Twitter is at nwalegends, and our Facebook is facebook.com/MidAtlanticLegend. So anyone, can keep up with us. And, of course, those links are on our websites as well. We announce new guests every week. So far, we have 20-something guests that we've announced so far. We'll be making another announcement on Monday. Les mentioned Mike Mooneyham from Charleston Post and Courier earlier. Mike is making our announcements every week and, just writes a remarkable column and a lot of background information on these guys and who they are. And, we have a lot of folks, that are, old farts like myself. But we have, even more folks that are a new generation of wrestling fans that, they didn't necessarily grow up with these guys, but with the advent of, the internet and YouTube especially, they've had a chance to go back and, see wrestling from the 70s and 80s and realize, what a special period in time that was. And, we have a lot of those folks too that, are a part of our weekend. So it's not just a bunch of old fogies like myself. I mean, it's a well-rounded weekend for a lot of people. There's something there for people of, any age. So look forward to seeing everyone there. Look forward to seeing you there too, Vic.
That's right. As a matter of fact, it's going to be my first time going down to Charlotte for the Fan Fest, and I am very excited about it.
Just be prepared for the heat and humidity.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that we do is in the Hilton, and the air conditioning does work. So, just come on down. We'd love to have you part of it. And anyone that can, that can be here with us, we'd love to have you. Definitely make sure you check out the documentary and help us relive our Mid-Atlantic memories.
Well, Greg, we're getting ready to wrap things up. I want to thank you so much for spending the full hour with us today. I can't tell you how much both Les and I really appreciate it. And I'm sincerely hopeful, and I'm very confident, as a matter of fact, the Freeloaders are getting a chance to hear this show for the very first time. Appreciated hearing from you as well. And guys, if you like this show, there's 15 to 20 brand new radio shows from a whole host of different sources and hosts on this fine website, available to subscribers at just $10.99 a month, including Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez, several times a week, updating you on the world of wrestling and mixed martial arts. You also get access to the archives of the audio shows on this site. So you can go back and listen to Dave Meltzer or Brian Alvarez from 4, 5, 6, 7-plus years ago. Thousands of hours of audio available in the archives, not to mention the actual newsletter archives for the Figure Four Weekly and the Wrestling Observer, which go back many, many years as well. All for just $10.99 a month. You get a chance to hear that great stuff and stuff like this with Greg Price from the Mid-Atlantic Wrestling Legends Fan Fest, which is coming up in Charlotte in August, the 1st through the 4th. And Greg, once again, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We sincerely appreciate it.
Thank you, Vic and Les. It's a great honor to be with you. I appreciate the privilege. Definitely enjoyed it.
Greg, thank you, and have a good weekend, and try to behave yourself, okay?
Most definitely, Les. Great talking to you, and great sitting under the learning tree again.
All right, buddy.
So for Greg Price and the legend Les Thatcher, my name is Victor Sosa. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly.